It's time for Lunch Hour Reviews.
He was licking me.
What?
He was licking me!
Lunch Hour Reviews.
He's mad pain till he bursts.
You eating Jadis!
Speeding time. I'm Mindy.
And I'm Darren.
And we are the Rance Macabre, covering all things horror.
With a new episode every Macabre Monday, we explore the genre with sharp focus and deep production.
We want you to love scary movies as much as we do, so we don't overshare plots or give spoilers. The Rance Macabre. Cutting,
cultured,
and curated. All right, everybody, welcome back. This is a Lunch Hour Review. We've been watching a lot of things.
Yeah, have you?
Okay, here's the deal. Here's the thing, right? So I slowed down on Penny Dreadful because it's almost over. And when I get to the end of a long series, I like drag it out to the, like, the very end. So
I did the same thing.
Yeah, so it's like I'm not ready to finish that. So I'm still in that. Not going to lie, I've been watching a lot of Vampire Diaries. Whatever, it's horror.
Is that like comfort food?
Kind of. It's like when I get ready in the morning. Sometimes
I
you know, I used to watch Buffy every morning, but I'm doing Vampire Diaries
now. I do that with
now.
Criminal Minds, but yeah, I'll give you. It's a much worse show than anything maybe not the Vampire Diaries. Criminal Minds is probably about as good as the Vampire Diaries.
Vampire Diaries has some good stuff in there. It's very violent. I'm like noticing as I watch it. They love to, in the season, the third season in particular, they just rip people's hearts out left and right.
Nice.
Like all the time.
It's their go-to.
It is, and it's very graphic for a CW TV show.
Yet a couple hours ago, you were ready to rip my heart out because you were being a pain in the ass.
So you're not here to talk about Vampire Diaries. What have you brought us to discuss, to review?
I brought this gem that my husband picked out because I don't know why I'm letting him pick movies again.
Yeah, I thought. Yeah.
Well, I watch so many bad... I mean, we both watch so many bad ones. We can't just be like, it's you. This one is 2015's The Resort.
The Chromosin A outbreak 10 years ago was the deadliest pandemic the world has ever known.
A virus that kills people and brings them back to life.
Despite everything, humanity prevailed.
The Resort is a sun-drenched island where guests can pay to shoot the undead.
I've seen that movie.
Directed by Steve Barker, who did Outpost, which I really liked Outpost. It was a Nazi scary monster movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. Is that on Netflix streaming?
It was a long time ago. Or maybe, okay. I mean, it was a long time ago that I watched it. But I did like that one, written by Paul Gerstenberger. It stars Doug Ray Scott, who I really thought was an entirely different person. And I don't know why I know his name.
It's... funny, I said I watched this movie, and I did. I lost that time. I barely remember a character. I have like a vague memory of what happens in the movie.
Yeah.
But do you have a synopsis? Do you want me to wing the brain damage synopsis?
You tell me, and I'll help you out.
All right. Resort with a Z.
Yes.
On account of it being the last place where zombies are still kept. The zombie apocalypse has come and gone.
Yes.
And society has seemingly picked up the pieces, and they have turned an island into like a safari where people hunt zombies. I mean, in today's climate, it seems less and less kooky.
It does. Yeah. I mean, I could see this being a thing.
But it was fraught with like tragic mistakes and just a really dumb plot. A
very dumb plot. It is essentially Jurassic Park, but
right.
without all the awesome, you know, John Williams music and just little zombies that makes no sense. So part of the twist of this film is like, where these zombies are coming from, where, like that when they finally discover. But of course they're getting zombies. It's not the original zombies from the zombie outbreak. People shoot like thousands of them a day.
Yeah.
You pay a lot of money to go to this park. You shoot the zombies. Of course they don't question where they're coming from. But then when they do, it's like, whoa.
So one of my biggest issues is that the whole point is to immerse yourself in a zombie world and shoot them. Because, you know, like our video games have shown us, it's probably a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. It seems like a lot of fun.
They take so many unnecessary risks when they're already doing something crazy dangerous. That was kind of my issue, that like there's very little responsibility to be passed around.
Well, I kind of think, though, it that actually does make sense, because it's such a theme park kind of thing that people take it for granted that people actually get killed by zombies anymore.
Oh, okay. That's kind of like Jurassic World.
Yes.
It's just like Jurassic World.
Oh, my God. Just like Jurassic World.
They have grown complacent. Their hubris has overtaken any sense of self-preservation.
Yeah. It was really bad. I really don't recommend it. Really, really don't recommend it, actually.
Yeah, I thought
not even for fun. Like, it's not even fun.
Yeah, it doesn't... I mean, it's gory, and there's some... I mean, it's a lot of, like, digital splatter.
I think the best part of it is to imagine, like, oh, if I went to the park, I would do the following things. That's the best part about the movie, is, like, talking about it later. Talking about, like, oh, if there was a park where zombies would be, I would do the following things.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, that sounds like a short story prompt. Yeah.
Yes. Not a full feature-length film. Not all bad people. I mean, Doug, I don't know why I know who Doug Ray Scott is, but it surprised me when he wasn't who I thought he was.
Was he in another terrible movie that you watched?
I don't know.
Is he
like,
in Outpost?
Why do I know his name? No, he wasn't in Outpost. Also, Jessica DeGaux is in it, and she's from These Final Hours. So it's like they're not terrible people here. It's just a terrible film.
Yeah. Yeah. I've watched a lot of those recently, and I'll talk about them in a couple minutes. But yeah, that's a passable, like, at this point, I mean, I thought we hit peak saturation with zombies. And
no, there's always more.
I mean, I guess I'm
Jerusalem
still not drawing the line.
With Z?
That's on my list.
Oh, excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Great.
It's not exclusively zombies, but yeah. I don't know. I guess we're still sort of coasting on the zombie trend. And
Zombies are always fun.
I love a good zombie movie. The Girl with All the Gifts is coming out on the same day as Get Out, the Jordan Peele movie.
Oh, I want to see that so bad.
Yeah, I'm excited for both of those movies. And especially that it's a new take on a zombie movie, so to speak. But this was a big
it got
pass.
A frowny face in my book. So sometimes, like, in my book, now that I have been keeping all the movies in, if I don't take good notes, sometimes I just make a sad face or a happy face.
I need a good shorthand like that. I've been trying to
Angry eyebrows, if it made me angry.
If it was
I
so bad
it.
It made you angry. Mm-hmm. That's funny.
This just got a regular old sad face.
Yeah, this is like a not terrible fart in the room. I mean, it ain't good. You don't want to stick around, but it's not the most offensive thing.
Because here at the resort, we firmly believe every apocalypse deserves an after party.
Okay, I have seen a newer, I will dare say, much better movie.
Okay, all right. I'll challenge that maybe. What is it?
Last night with the New York Horror Movie Group meetup, we went to a free screening of The Cure for Wellness, the new Gore Verbinski movie.
There is a sickness inside us, rising like the bile that leaves that bitter taste at the back of our throats. It's there on every one of you seated around the table. Only when we know what ails us can we hope to find the cure.
What do you make of that?
Clearly he's lost his mind.
Our thoughts exactly.
So the screenplay is by Verbinski and Justin Haith. It stars Dane DeHaan, who is the villain in Chronicle, and he played Harry Osborn in the Amazing Spider-Man series. Jason Isaacs, who's been in everything, and Mia Goth, who was in Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac.
Yes.
So shortly, it's great. And I think because of its scope, it is worth seeing in the theater. It's a gorgeous film. Bohan Bazzelli did the cinematography, and he's worked with Verbinski before on The Ring. He also did the 93 Body Snatchers that we talked about recently.
Yes.
It just came up on account of the author. And he was also cinematographer for fucking Pumpkinhead, which is a gorgeous film. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. That's worth thinking about. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was Stan Winston's man in that time, but he's worked with Gore Verbinski a bunch. It's funny that I don't watch the Pirates of the Caribbean.
Pirate of the Caribbean.
Johnny Depp in the Caribbean. I don't watch those movies. So obviously, when I think of Gore Verbinski, I think of The Ring.
I think of the Pirates thing, and I'm like, I don't want to see it. I don't know. What does this guy know?
But so for a studio guy, and he is through and through, I thought it was a cool note that, like, when he was a teenager, he was in a punk rock band, but he decided, like, I want to be a filmmaker. So he sold his guitar for a camera, for a film camera. I think that, so.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I can appreciate it. And that this was co-written by him. I'm impressed. I'm really kind of happy that this movie turned out well. I'll tell you, it's got scope. It takes place in the, like, hills of Germany. There's a castle. It's a gorgeous film. Some of it takes place in New York, but the compositions are, like, I mean, there are homages to the Shining and the Overlook Hotel, and there's a lot of, like, 70s paranoia movie nods. Mm-hmm. Rosemary's Baby is definitely on the mind. Mm-hmm. Invasion of the Body Snatchers plays in later.
Okay.
And, yeah, the Shining was 1980, but still there. Yeah, I think the movie is as strong as it is because it is stunning to look at. It runs a little long. I kind of found a little frustration there that by the end you're not sure, like, is this the epilogue? How much more of this are we?
I kind
of
don't like
do?
That. I don't like too long of movies.
Yeah, I think it would have closed a little stronger if it was more vague. If they had actually taken out some of the explanation of what was happening, because I think there's no way it's not going to confuse people either way. Even having explained it the way the movie does, it's still going to leave people confused. So I think that would be one of its strengths, to like leave mystery to the story. So I don't know, listeners, check it out. Let me know what you think, because this is a fun one to talk about.
One that I watched, because you know I love documentaries, watched Interview with the Serial Killer.
Sullivan Correctional Facility, just outside Fallsburg, New York State. It's a maximum security prison, home to some of America's most violent criminals. One of them is Arthur J. Shawcross. We've come to meet him face to face to see if he would tell us what made him such a violent killer.
People on the outside do not know what evil is.
Do you know what evil is?
Sure.
Are you evil?
Somewhat.
It's a little 45-minute film. It seems like one of those things that's probably on, like, Discovery ID. It probably actually was. But it follows an interview with Arthur Shawcross,
He's the guy on the cover of the...
Yes.
I've come across this on Netflix, and I opted not to... I mean, the irony
is... It's interesting.
I enjoyed, in quotes, the interviews with the Iceman, that HBO documentary.
I think that's probably why I watched it.
And this seems like the framework for that.
It's very similar to the Iceman kind of thing, is just that he doesn't really think much about it.
Yeah.
And there's certain things he's still to that... I mean, he died in 2008, but there's still some things he won't talk about, and some things he's totally, totally candid with.
Wow, and it's not as if he was going to, like, be let out.
Right, but they have to do with underage, those particular ones he won't talk about. And it's very interesting what he picks and chooses to talk about. So, I mean, I think that's really interesting.
It's fascinating that, yeah, someone who, I mean, in essence is on death row, still has this, like, curious, perverse sense of vanity.
Yes.
That, like, I don't want to be associated with those, my worst crimes.
Yeah, exactly. Because the other 12 people he killed are prostitutes, adult women up in the Rochester area. And it's
Rochester,
really interesting.
New York.
Yeah, yeah.
I wonder, did they draw any comparisons to the like, the more recent bodies? Because that, as far as I know, the case of, it was more often than not, prostitutes found, I think it was in Long Island, that... They don't even have
a suspect. I totally forgot about that. We were hearing about it all the time, and now we don't hear about it.
I think it's just under, like, 20 bodies had been discovered.
I totally forgot about that.
Over, like, a couple, maybe a decade.
It is one of the most baffling serial murder cases in modern American history. Centered on this lonely stretch of sand on the south shore of Long Island, New York. Gilgo Beach, a small community with a big mystery on its hands. The bodies of 15 brutally murdered young women. And there seems to be a pattern. Many of them under 5 feet tall and less than 100 pounds. All dumped in the surrounding dunes over a period of 20 years.
That's crazy.
I wonder if he's got more bodies than they've attributed to
him. I don't think so. He had been in prison since like the 90s.
Oh, okay.
Like, he's another instance where he goes into the system, comes out of the system, goes back into the system, kills in between times.
Repeat offender.
Why not?
Oy.
Yeah. Military guy. I mean, it's a guy that it's like, when he was younger, good-looking guy.
Yeah.
You just really wouldn't expect it. It's one of those you wouldn't expect it kind of things. Yeah. It's wild.
This couch.
It's worth a watch if you like that sort of thing, which I do. So.
It wasn't disturbing in the worst way.
And, I mean, it's disturb. Yeah, I mean, you're listening to a man talk candidly about killing people without really feeling. He doesn't feel bad about it. He doesn't feel one way or another. He's on a lot of.
Like Thorazine or some debilitating thing.
Yeah, he also has he's one of those serial killers that really the head trauma, you know how you have certain things that will lead to that,
like,
maybe.
The trifecta of like mental illness, head trauma, and like
different
parent
other
abuse.
Yeah. So he has some head trauma, so he does a lot of Robert Durst blinking. When he doesn't want to talk about certain things, and you're like, well, okay, there, Blinky, you need to calm down.
You're giving away the shop, man. Get it under control.
But it's worth a watch. He gets pissy with the interviewer for a while, and that's kind of funny.
That's fun, because usually in these scenarios, it's the only time you actually see any emotion out of these guys.
Right.
Yeah, I remember, some of the Iceman interviews are unsettling because of how little emotion is actually in any of these conversations. Yeah.
So it's worth a watch while it's still on there.
True crime.
And then I saw, I think, if I could recommend people to watch, Daywatch is back on Netflix. So everybody needs to watch Daywatch all the time. Love that movie.
Okay, so I've got like a whittle amount to a speed round of...
I'm excited about this because I think you've been watching a lot of garbage.
It's not all garbage, but okay. So I'm going to take a deep breath and sit up.
All right, okay.
For this. Okay. So I have watched all of the Santa Clarita Diet. It's with Drew Barrymore and Timothy Oliphant. It's good. It's not great. It's worth watching because Drew Barrymore is actually pretty funny in it.
Okay.
Timothy Oliphant's role, it never feels like it quite lands.
Uh-huh.
I don't know exactly what he's going for, but I didn't think it worked entirely. But that said, like, it's a horror comedy. It's never all that horrifying.
Uh-huh.
It's, yeah, I don't know. It's spooky at times, but yeah. It's all right. I watched The Veil with Jessica Alba and Thomas Jane. It's kind of a Jim Jones haunting what turns out to be like a Texas compound. So like, yeah, stateside. Yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of found footage and sort of documentary within. It was okay. It wasn't great. Jerusalem.
Yep.
I saw with a Z. My note here is it's a terrible POV found footage movie during the end of the world. It's all special effects and it sucks.
Don't hold back. Don't hold back.
Murder Party. So this was on Shudder, which I'm getting more and more familiar with. If anything, I'm actually running out of stuff to watch on Shudder. But Murder Party, Jeremy Saulnier's first feature-length film.
Okay.
It's a horror comedy like Tucker and Dale versus Evil, but almost in an absurdist style like Ice Cream Man.
I like that. I like the sounds that you're making right now.
Now, you'll find things you recognize because it does get to be a little inside in terms of like hipster Williamsburg culture.
Okay.
And it's a knock on that, and it goes other places. But I don't know. Overall, it was good. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Anti-Birth. This is pretty new to Netflix. Natasha Lyonne in a awful horror comedy about experimental drugs making a giant sea monkey in her belly. I'm not kidding. It's bad.
I kind of like Natasha Lyonne sometimes.
She's great.
Yeah.
It's just the character is like unredeeming and it's kind of boring and gross and nasty for nasty's sake, but there's not a lot
funny.
To it.
Actually, the way you described it sounds kind of funny, but
people might like it. It's not a terribly made movie. It's just not my thing. I didn't think it was very good. Elijah Wood's Cooties.
I want to see that.
Yeah, it's on Shudder. Elijah Wood plays a substitute teacher on the day the chicken nuggets turn kids into angry zombies.
No, wait! He's not like the others.
Please explain to me what's going on.
That girl Shelly has cooties.
He's right. This is a foodborne virus.
The chicken nuggets.
Virus is only dangerous if you haven't gone through puberty.
Are you kidding me?
I like that.
It's funny. It's kind of sweet, and it's got some good gore. I dug that one. Cooties. This one I've been excited to watch a long time. Exists by Eduardo Sanchez, one half of the Blair Witch team. He made a found footage movie about Bigfoot. This case, I do think they're in Texas.
Okay.
I love Sasquatch. I love the concept of Sasquatch, and this is an okay movie. It's not very good, but it's a Sasquatch movie.
I remember seeing the previews. I think you maybe showed me the preview a long time ago.
I think we talked about it a little bit in the
I was like, I'll watch this.
Yeah, it's okay. It's worth watching. What is not worth watching is Tobe Hooper's remake of The Toolbox Murders.
Mm.
It's bad.
Really?
Accounts vary, but it sounds like they filmed 2/3 of a movie and then had their budget cut, and so their timeline, like, it's 2/3 of a movie. It's a bad 2/3. It's not even a good 2/3. It's almost unwatchable. This is a throwback, Lucio Fulci's The New York Ripper. It's a horrible slasher movie about
Why
a weird killer who
it?
Quacks like a duck when he kills and stalks the police.
Lieutenant Williams, please!
Here we go.
Lieutenant Williams?
Speaking. What do you want?
To dedicate a killing to you. Gonna sacrifice a woman just for you. Like the idea?
The only thing I'd like, I'd really like, is to meet you face to face.
That'll happen sooner or later, but you'll have to recognize me.
He quacks like a duck. That's
while he kills and while he stalks people, because that's not sneaky.
He all the time is quacking. He's like, whenever we hear the killer, it's not exclusively quacking, but he uses it as punctuation.
Does he speak normal people words and then like emphasize what quacks? Like, I'm confused about that. Okay.
Yeah. It's often in like a teasing way. It makes about as much sense as I'm making it make sound. What?
Quack, quack, quack.
Okay. Another Eduardo Sanchez movie, Lovely Molly.
Yeah. Okay. Tell me about it.
I wasn't wild about it.
Okay.
I think
I told you that.
That you saw it and didn't like it?
Yeah. Not that I didn't like it, that it was, but.
Yeah. I fell asleep during it. It's drawn out. It's a story about a horrible guy who died and now haunts his daughter.
Yeah.
And she is, you know, fucked up in every conceivable way. But yeah, I
it was one
like
of those
it.
I didn't feel much of anything after.
Oh, Molly.
One I did like, Lake Mungo. I've wanted to see this for a long time, and I was thrilled to see that it was on Shudder. It's from 2008, the year after the first Paranormal Activity, and I would say it's as good.
Okay.
It is more dynamic. It's edited incredibly well. It's really well put together. I like this a lot. It's never terrifying, but it is spooky throughout.
Okay.
It's a good watch. So yeah, that's a
short
lot. List.
You have been watching a lot.
That's
of
not even everything. I found the ones that were worth talking about.
Like all day, you're just sitting around watching horror. That sounds amazing. Also, you might become a serial killer.
this is the path. I wake up. I've got nothing to do. Why not kill?
You're growing a beard. You just watch movies.
I'm gonna start pulling people
like you're
into
not
the
even
woods
wearing
where
shoes
I live
right now.
I'm in my home.
Yeah,
why
but you
would
could
I
put
be
some
wearing
socks
shoes?
On. You could put socks on. It's,
I asked
it's
you if
winter.
It was bothering you before. You said no.
No, I'm just making notes that you show up with. Well, you're in your house, so I show up. You have a beard. You've watched all these movies.
I have been watching a lot. Yeah. But yeah, I'm trying to pack it in because I'm going to be traveling. I'm going to be away
it's
for
true.
2.5 weeks. Yeah, destination wedding and then European travel.
What book are you going to take? Are you taking a book?
So I've got two books. Men, Women, and Chainsaws, Gender in Modern Horror Film by Carol J. Clover, and Horror Films FAQ, All That's Left to Know About Slashers, Vampires, Zombies, Aliens, and More by John Kenneth Muir. Both of which were recommended on the Faculty of Horror podcast. They also did a video companion piece, but Alexandra West was just on our show talking about films of the New French Extremity, and I got to check my bag. I might bring her book as well.
You already read it.
I've read like 90% of it, but
to be fair, you have to be careful with that book because spoils.
There's some spoilers. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you do have to be careful with it because remember I told you to watch Calvera before.
Yes.
You know, reading that section of it.
And Frontiers is on my to-do list. Mm-hmm. I think that one is also on Shudder. It'll be busy, and I'll be doing some writing, doing some updates, staying in touch. You got planned what's happening with the podcast while I'm away?
Well, you know, we've now recorded some episodes in the little holding cell here, so I'm good on that. I have one episode that I'm working on. I just have to find musician experts to help me. You're out of here.
I'm gone, and all right, the intellectual quotient just went up exponentially.
Or it might be terrible. I don't know.
It could be boring as sin.
Yeah.
But all right. Well, hell, I'll be excited to listen to it. I'll download it as soon as I get Wi-Fi.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talk about movies. So my idea, since you're out, is to get another musician in, and we're going to talk about horror music.
So that'll do it for this episode of our Lunch Hour Reviews. And as always, you can find us on social media at Rants Macabre on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We're on Patreon, where we've got extra content every month for Patreon subscribers. This month, people will be getting a sort of a science episode of the science of fear and stress responses and sort of what's happening neurologically when people are scared and decision making falls apart.
Yes, exactly. You know, it's kind of ties in actual science with when suddenly a person who couldn't do anything suddenly can kick everyone's ass in a film.
Yeah, it turns out not so realistic.
Yeah, no. I like to think it could still happen though.
For you.
For me. Yes,
should you need ninja skills and war strategy?
Right. Yeah. I watch a lot of Buffy, so I think I could kick monsters' asses.
Cuz that's right up there with training heart hand-to-hand combat is watching Buffy.
Yeah, sitting on the couch.
Getting ready for work.
It's not. If you're finding us on iTunes, go ahead and leave us some stars. Leave us some reviews.
Give us a review.
Yeah, we are also on Stitcher. You can stream us from our website, therantsmacabre.com. We're on Google Play. I always forget about Google Play.
Google Play Music.
Which actually has a beautiful interface.
I like it a lot.
Right?
It's perfect for at work streaming, if you will. You've got a Wi-Fi signal. Stream us on Google Play Music or Stitcher Internet Radio. That'll do it for me. This is Darren signing off.
This is Mindy. Thanks.